Welcome to Table Talk. Scott Porth and Brent Kuhlman with you today. Daring to be Lutheran. Pull your chair up to the table. Have a seat. We're in Matthew's Gospel. 6 and a little bit more there maybe for us to look at.
More meat on that bone, as you would always say.
That's right. That's right. Let's. Should we jump in at verse 25?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Wow, and that just goes against the grain of everything that we're taught in our life, what Jesus just said there. Because I put my trust in things, in cash, in property. We are bombarded. Now, to a certain degree, I understand why God gives us our daily bread to take care of our body and soul and to take care of the people that he gives us, okay?
Right.
Okay. But yet, we can't turn these things into idols, and this is the warning. So Jesus has to warn us of this, and then he makes his heavenly Father great in our eyes and in our ears here in these words. You can trust him to take care of you. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat.
I think sometimes we feel guilty for not being anxious. Because being anxious, I don't know, it's... It, too, is a form of idolatry.
Yeah, little faith Jesus talks about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little faith. Little faithers. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I don't have my train of thought organized here, but we can't be satisfied. We have to be anxious. We have to be worried about something. And then we give this impression to others, oh, woe is me. I have so much to be anxious about. Well, that's... Don't you believe? Who is your Father in heaven? Why are you so anxious? It really is. It highlights where our treasures are.
Yeah, I can vouch for the fact that the birds of the air, I've never seen one get in a planter and plant and then get in the combine in the fall and harvest. No, they just trust their Heavenly Father that they'll have enough seed to eat for the year, and they gather it and they eat it.
Even when I forget to fill the bird feeder, they still survive.
And I can vouch for the fact that the lilies of the field, they don't go to Sears and Roebuck and buy a sewing machine. They just trust that their Heavenly Father will give them the beauty that they have, and that's good enough. What's interesting here is not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like the lilies of the field. Wow. Again, making our Heavenly Father great before us so that we'll learn to trust in him alone.
Right. Yeah, true beauty.
So again, the disciple is led here to repentance and faith in this Sermon on the Mount. Trust in the Lord above all things. Do not fear, love, and trust in him above all things.
Right.
He's taught us how to pray for daily bread. All right, trust it. And receive your daily bread with thanksgiving. In a connection here then, so what the Lord gives you, we are to use it properly. Don't use it like an idol. You know,
or a weapon.
Yeah, right. So what? Yeah, that's a good point. So if cash is your idol, what do you do with it? You hoard it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give it away.
And you have to have more of it.
Yeah, and then you still can't give it away.
No.
And we become a recluse like Howard Hughes.
It's just, you know, talk about being curved in on yourself.
Right, right.
Wound pretty tight, aren't we?
Yeah. So the worry bit is the little faith. So Jesus would draw us from our little faith to great faith, which is trusting in our Heavenly Father to take care of us in everything, and especially by giving us his Son who actually preaches this sermon.
Yeah, and giving us his prayer to pray too. This too helps us not to be of little faith, but to trust.
Right, right. So seek first the kingdom of. Wow, there you have it. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, who gets to be king in my life?
Not me, it's Jesus.
Yeah.
Then chapter 7. Are you ready to move on?
I am.
Okay, well. Jesus then talks about how his disciples live in a world that is hostile and alien. I mean, it's going to be just, they won't get you people. You're weirdos. You're freaks. you people need to be Siberian, you know. How are you going to live in this kind of world?
Going against the flow.
Yeah, so this is chapter 7. And I think we should just start with the verses 1 through 6, shall we? Let's do that.
All right.
You got it?
Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you.
Well, let's review, shall we, before we tackle those words specifically.
Sure.
The disciple, that is to say, the believer in Jesus Christ, you're a new creation, as Paul says. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And that's spelled faith, F-A-I-T-H. And faith is the good tree that bears good fruit. And so the disciple is going to love his enemy. We heard about that in chapter 5, verses 17 and following. The disciple lives in a childlike piety, if you will, that looks only for the Father's reward. You know, chapter 6, 1 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
The disciple seeks first the reign and saving righteousness of God, chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. And the disciple who is gathered into the church is neither Jew or Gentile and is, therefore, like an alien in the world. And so how does the disciple live in the world? What should his attitudes and actions be towards other people or people that he deals with? All right. Well, the verses you read, we live in a world that does what? It judges people 24/7, 365. This is the world in which we live.
Always in the courtroom.
Parents judge other parents. You're not raising your children correctly. I do it better than you do. I do the homework better with my children than you do.
I don't leave my children unsupervised at a certain age, but you do. What I mean, you know, it's just all around. Yep. Kids do it with kids.
Now let's be very specific here. The words that Jesus speaks here in chapter 7 are to the disciple, to the believer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge. There are people that Jesus gives authority to judge. Number one, that's Jesus himself. We can read about that in John's gospel. But there are judges in this world who judge cases, court cases, and make a decision. And that's God at work in the world doing that. But if you're not a judge, hearing a court case, shut up. Even if you see the evil perpetrated, don't judge it. He's talking specifically to the Christian. Because in Jesus' day, the synagogue would mete out its punishments on people. They gave out 39 lashes, the synagogue too. And so the world in which we live and the world in which Jesus lived, the natural thing was for people just to judge other people 24/7, 365. So the disciple is tempted to do what? To play who? Play God.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, no, God will judge people. He'll take it. And again, Paul makes the same points in his letter to the Romans when he says, don't take revenge. Don't take revenge. And then in chapter 13, he talks about how God does take revenge on the evildoer, and that's through the governing authorities. Okay? Oh, this cold, I can't get rid of this cold, so help me out here, Scott.
Well, God being God, God who orders our world and places us in specific places. So if he's not given you to be a civil judge, then it has not been given you to do.
Parallel here again is Matthew 18, where you don't forgive, but you judge. I mean, in the parable in Matthew 18, the guy that had been forgiven the unrepayable amount of money, he judges his fellow servant who owes him $5.
Yep.
Won't forgive him. All right. So this really, again, this Sermon on the Mount, we've talked about this before. It's a threefold use of the law, I would contend, where it keeps things in check.
Right.
It shows you that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And then thirdly, the law that Jesus preaches here, or the Sermon from the Mount that he preaches here, It actually then shows you how he wants you as his disciple to live as a good tree that bears good fruit in the world, on how you live with other people. Because seriously, when you're judging people 24/7, 365, and notice how this works in marriages, I have to do everything. She doesn't do anything around here. Well, that marriage is in trouble. You're going to have trouble. Don't judge that.
It's addicting. The judgments just grow and consumes everything. You judge everyone all the time.
That happens in congregations. I have to do everything in this congregation. Nobody will do anything. Or, you know, how people act or whatever, and they judge.
Mm-hmm.
Got to knock it off. So this is very important here in this text. Take the speck. Well, no, the log out of
the
your
log
eye.
Out of the, your own eye. Because that's the way it is. We're always nitpicking. We're always looking at these other, and we don't see that we're dead damn sinners ourselves.
Now, verse 1 keeps what before our very eyes? Don't judge. Why? Because if you do on the last day, then you'll be judged with the same judgment that you judged others.
Right.
Hey, if that's the way you want. I mean, if you want God to be fair, all right, watch out. Ain't going to go well for you.
There is a judge. I mean, that's the truth. And all will be judged. And I say to you, judge not.
Because now what's his... See, we're back to like the fifth petition. This is almost like parallel to the fifth petition. Forgive us our trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
Right.
Very similar. And so verses 14 and 15 of chapter 6, very similar to this.
Or like what, you know, you mentioned before too with Peter, and you know, how many times shall I forgive my brother? I judge this to be enough. Seven times, that ought to be enough. No. No. It is interesting how this all ties in.
So this is very helpful for me personally, and I hope it's very helpful for all of you who listen to this, that, you know, let's take a step back and listen to our Lord's words here and not sugarcoat it or replace his words with ours. Say, yeah, but, you know, this person, I am going to judge them because, you know, they really deserve to be judged by me. No.
It's interesting how we take these clear words of God, and we've used some other examples too. And ultimately, when we're all done with it, we have God saying, I should judge. God, you know, God tells me I should judge this person or this thing, which is just the opposite of what his word actually says.
Yeah, and what's ultimately here, if I can push this to the end of our talking about it here towards the end of the segment, judge not, lest ye be judged. Why? Instead of judging them, do what? What's he already taught you? Forgive them. Love them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing in certain cases. That's what you've got to pray a lot. Learn a profound pity and mercy versus a judging attitude that really might end hellaciously for you. That's verse 1 of chapter 7.
Yeah. Don't be the God who is only a God of wrath, because that's what you're doing when you assume that role. I like how the small catechism, the language, but put the best construction on everything. That too fits in here as well. Our judgment is oftentimes the worst construction.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, let's move on. We got time to move on?
Oh, just a little bit. Okay. Just a little bit. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find.
See, there I can get the candy apple red Corvette. See? There it is.
I knew you'd get back to that.
or is that right?
And it will be delivered to you by the dealer. No, wait, that must be a variant here in my text. Well, let's reserve this for the second half while Brent goes and Googles prices for Apple Red Corvettes. We'll take a break, folks. Back in a bit.